Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
One of the great things about sports is it constantly reminds us just how dumb human beings can be. All of us. Just give us a chance. The latest example, the Tampa Bay Rays, who did one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in a baseball game. Twice. They walked a batter to pitch to Salvador Perez. And then when first base opened up after a wild pitch, they kept pitching to Salvador Perez. As a famous comedian once said, you can't fix stupid. On this episode, we look at stupid decisions in sports. Sporting Kansas City manager Peter Vermes has made the most profound statements yet about fans missing games because of COVID. He's spot on with these comments. I really like this guy. National Football League has changed some rules for 2021. We're going to highlight a couple of those for you and run the list down. In boiling over national race baiting news, LeBron James has done something, deleted it, and sort of apologized for a thing that really should be a crime. It's despicable. This man has a problem. Private colleges are announcing they're requiring students to be vaccinated to attend. More liberal control. What's really making news is so many liberal state universities are quickly finding out they cannot do the same thing. Oh, what a shame for the state schools. And Joe Biden has banned the term illegal alien. What? Has he banned the N-word yet? Is there not outrage? Shouldn't he ban that first? Or how about banning the song Illegal Alien from the radio? What a ridiculous waste of time for the President of the United States. We're going to have some fun with this one. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. I'm hearing from a lot of you that are taking Roberts Robinson up on their offer to service your car by coming and picking your car up, servicing it, and returning it to you. You're also contemplating ordering your new GM, SUV, or truck from Roberts Robinson by just getting on the phone with them and online and building your own car. Have it built for you, man. If you're going to buy a new car, get exactly what you want. They'll cut that price way down, show you every single cost, and take it right down to the bone. I promise, they're awesome. They would love for you to order a car from them instead of someone else. Know who you're doing business with. If you're in the market for your new GM product, Chevy, Buick, GMC, Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs is the way to go. Shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com or see Mike or Tim on the showroom floor any day in beautiful Excelsior Springs, Missouri. With GMC, we are professional grade. Elite Automation designs and installs intelligent building systems that can save you thousands on your commercial space. Look, I know a lot of you have companies and businesses. You work with warehouses, office buildings, commercial buildings. Call these folks. Even if you think you're doing it right, give them a chance. Give these guys a chance, man. They're unbelievable what they can save you. And if you just want to have them consult for you, you don't have to buy anything. It costs you nothing. When you save money, you share what you save with them. Everybody wins. Why would you not? If you operate a commercial building or have any type of building or warehouse or work in a warehouse or know of somebody that has a business like this, have them contact Elite Automation online at eliteautomate.com or call Brad at 766-2188. That's 913-766-2188 and make your building great again with Elite Automation. Buck Roofing and Construction, Ron Buck and his team have started the roof at my house. I'm very excited about this. That means as soon as it's on, everybody can go inside. All the subs can come in. We're just going to build. It's going to go fast now once we get inside. I'm very excited about that. And I know Ron's going to do a great job putting on a wonderful roof for me and Jessica and little Cabo for many years to come. He can do the same for you, whether it's a small repair or an entirely new roof. Doesn't really matter. He just wants to be your roofer. If you call him out for free, what you'll likely hear is, your roof's in good shape. Here's how many years before you need to call us back to look at it again. I've literally talked about Buck Roofing for so long now. I've had people tell me, look, Ron came and looked at it and said, you're good. Unless there's an event, call us in five more years. We'll look at your roof. They came back in 5 years and said, you know what? You got about $300 in repairs up there. Honestly. And then you got another 5 years before you need a new roof. These guys are great. Trust them. Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Dumb things in sports. I think it's going to be all year before I see anything dumber than what Tampa did against the Royals in the ninth inning to lose the game. It was spectacular because our team won, but you got to love it when the other guys are just flat out stupid on KKHI. Hit it!
Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Well, we follow up yesterday's one of my least favorite topics podcast with one of my favorite topics of all time podcast today. With a smile on my face, we'll start a little bit lighthearted, and that is when dumb things happen in sports. Not bad things. Not bad things. We all respect the fact that any athlete, anytime, can make a bad play. We saw it a couple of days ago. Whit Merrifield of the Royals, he said it was his worst defensive game in his life at any level. So we see games where physically you're not good, where maybe you miss tackles if you're a linebacker, or you strike out four times if you play baseball, or you go 2-for-13 from the field in basketball. We see games where athletes are bad. A professional golfer shoots 75, you know, on the final round of a big tournament or something when they're in the lead. It happens all the time, and it's why we love sports. There's a lot of drama to it, and we all recognize and understand that playing sports at a high level is incredibly difficult. We have tremendous appreciation for people who do it year in and year out at the highest level successfully. Okay, that's what was so frustrating about watching Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl the second time around, is he just didn't seem or look like Patrick Mahomes. But it also reminds us how great he is almost all the other time. Nobody's perfect in sports. Michael Jordan had bad games. Tiger Woods missed cuts of golf tournaments. We see this, so we know how hard it is to be the best in the world at what it is you do. But there are certain things that happen in sports that we can watch as fans and say, wait a second, how in the world did that happen? And I've said this many times here and throughout the years on my radio show, that one of the little dirty little secrets of sports is the people that are in charge are not as smart as you think they are. They're not. They're at the upper echelon of their profession and their career. I'm talking about coaches, general managers, people like that. But they're not as smart as you think they are. They are presented to you as smart. The media always presents them as smart. If you're sitting in a news conference and you're talking about your football team or something, you look and sound like a smart guy, even if you don't have much personality. We watch Bill Belichick, who has, you know, very little charisma in his news conferences, or even Bill Snyder. We met many, many years we watched Bill Snyder in news conferences. But, you know, we know they're smart guys. That's two examples of guys that are really smart and know what they're doing. But they also, throughout their careers, did some really dumb things in games. They had some flaws with their teams that you looked at them and you go, how in the world can this really great Hall of Fame coach have this problem right now? So I will cede the point that it is difficult to be in charge, that it's hard to be the head coach. It's hard to be the general manager. It's hard to make the right decisions. But there are times that the decisions are so simple that it simply has to be something that got away from them, that they just weren't thinking about, that their head was where the sun doesn't shine. I always see this in college basketball. A team leads by three. There's 5 seconds left, and they don't foul the person with the ball with 2 seconds left and put them at the free throw line. I'll never understand it. You know, Bill, the greatest at this was Bill Self, and a lot of people have come over to his ways now. Bill Self for many years said, oh, I don't know if you should do that or not. That's pretty controversial. I don't know if you just want to stop the clock and foul somebody, put the line. But Bill Self always did it, and he always won. Always. He would always do it and say, well, you know, it just kind of happened there. I'm not really sure. I don't really have a rule. He didn't want other coaches to know that he had a hard and fast and true rule that if there's 2 or 3 seconds left, we're going to foul you and put you at the line and not let you chuck up a three and take us to overtime. And so he did this a lot. And he won game after game after game, and now a lot of coaches do it. But you had to wonder, you know, how did this happen? Why does it take so long in sports for these things to evolve? We see this a lot on fourth down plays in football. We now have an evolution in football that didn't seem like it took much intelligence 25 years ago to say, why don't teams go for fourth down and a foot, we're in the third at the 30-yard line, instead of kicking a 47-yard field goal, why don't they try to get the first down and go score a touchdown? The numbers are way on your side. And so we've seen that. That's statistical probability. That's analytics. And the coaches have gotten better at that because people who know math have told them to get better at it. But we still see things in people who do dumb things that go against analytics. We saw it in the NFC Championship game. Matt LaFleur, who's an analytics guy, kicked a field goal down 31-23 to the Bucs. He kicked a field goal to pull within five and then kicked the ball off to Tom Brady and giving him good field position. Okay, I've got Aaron Rodgers. I've got fourth and goal. I'm going to try for the touchdown. If I don't get it, it's three runs for the Bucs. They're inside the 10-yard, they're at the 5 or 6 yard line. They're going to run it three times and punt it. I'm going to get the ball back and get another chance. It did matter in that case, field position. I don't often believe that field position matters on an onside kick. A lot of times I'll say, go ahead and try the onside kick. If the team gets the ball at the 50, that's no different than if they get it at the 30 or the 25, you know, but this was different in this playoff game. Brady would get the ball inside his own 10-yard line. They would likely run it at least twice, maybe throw behind the line of scrimmage and punt the ball away, up eight, feeling pretty good that they're up eight. But you give them good field position, it changes everything. It opens up the playbook. It, you know, takes out of a factor of a possible fumble or a misplay, a sack, a bad snap, something wrecking what you're doing. LaFleur made a mistake. I think if he had it back, he would have gone for the fourth and goal. They may have failed, but I still think they would have had a better chance of winning the game than what they did. So we see these things and we criticize them. But I'm watching the Royals on Wednesday night. And, you know, it was one of those games where you can't really watch the whole game. You just can't, because there's just pieces of Royals games that's they're unwatchable. They throw the ball around. They're kicking it at a record rate. Their defense is horrendous. They're not pretty to watch. God, they love to play baseball, though. That collection of players loves to play the game. And they just won't go away. And they're playing Tampa, a team they never beat. The Royals never beat Tampa. That's just a rule. The Royals are playing Tampa, they're beat. They've lost the first two games of the series. They're getting pounded in this when they're down, what, four runs, five runs? They always fall behind. The Royals are behind. The second they make a little comeback, it gets away from them. And Tampa scores a couple more runs. You're like, well, that was fun for a while. Then they come back and they tie the game at seven and immediately give the lead away. And now it's the ninth inning and Tampa brings its closer in. And the Royals are down a run. And Michael Taylor gets a bloop single on the first pitch. Just bloops it out into right field like a nothing, nothing, nothing. Bloop single. He's a fast runner. I want you to think about all the thought that went into this inning before I get to the very end. I'm going to describe for you all the things that happened by both managers, the decisions that are being made in an attempt to win a baseball game. The Royals are down one. Taylor gets a bloop single. Taylor's fast. He's a base stealer. The Royals decide to pinch run. Here comes Jerrod Dyson, who may be slightly faster, but here's your pinch runner. Great. All right. The Royals steal second base. Dyson's at second base. Now, Alberto's up. The bunt is on, and he lays down a nice bunt, and they bunt him over to third base. So now Jerrod Dyson's at third base with one out, and the Royals are down one run. Nicky Lopez is coming to the plate. Oh, they're going to have a meeting at the mound. Here comes everybody with Tampa. I mean, the whole infield, there's like six guys standing around. The catcher's out. The man, everybody's talking. They got their cards out. They're looking at these sheets. Oh, boy, Nicky Lopez. He likes to slap it to the left side. He doesn't hit the ball in the air very much, and he can really bunt. And they talk, and they talk, and they talk some more. And I think they were able to get a commercial in. You know, they do the commercials in-game now. You know, there's Rally House or whatever pops up on the screen while the Rays are just meeting at the mound. They're going to go over everything because the game is on the line. And I don't like stoppages in baseball, and I don't like these little cards. But at this point, I get it. The game's on the line. This is the important part of the game. Tampa's got to get this right. They got to get this right. Here's the problem they have. They have to hold the runner on third base. You can't bring the third baseman in or the suicide squeeze is in play. That's where the runner just takes off. Whether the bunt gets down or not, you could maybe still make it. So you have to hold the runner on. They hold the runner on at third. Nicky Lopez, if he's going to bunt, which it doesn't look like that he's going to, right? If he's going to bunt, has to either bunt it to the pitcher or the third baseman. And if he does that, it's a run for the Royals, and the game's at worst going to extra innings. The Royals are trying to extend the game. All right, you can't bunt it to the first baseman. It's the only thing you can't do. I have never in my life seen an infield come in more than this one. Not even when I go watch Little League games. Man, when I played Midget C, we came in and protected against the bunt. The shortstop is right behind the pitcher. Right there. Like, okay, if it's a hard bunt to the third base side, maybe the shortstop can make the play. They're just set up for this. The second baseman is right behind the pitcher. They're all up on the grass. There's nobody on the dirt. They're all up. the first baseman, if Nicky Lopez pulled a line drive at the first baseman, he might have killed him. I mean, he's so close. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anybody pull in like Tampa. They're convinced, we'll let Nicky Lopez try to slap the ball and get one by us. And if he can do that, then good for him. We don't think he's a very good hitter. We're more worried about the bunt. And if he bunts it too hard, we're going to make this play. They've gone over everything. First pitch, Nicky Lopez drops the bunt. Dyson scores, and the Royals have tied the game. And now, because they made the play at the plate and failed, Nicky Lopez is on first base. There's still only one out. I mean, this is just unbelievable, right? Merrifield's the team's best hitter, and you're thinking, okay, good things can happen here. Maybe Lopez will steal. All right, they get a full count, and you think Nicky Lopez is going to take off with the pitch, but he doesn't. I don't know why with the full count with Merrifield he doesn't. It didn't matter. Merrifield hits a slow roller to shortstop. They throw to first. Lopez is advanced to second base. Here comes Santana. Now Tampa's going to go nuts again. What are we going to do here? Oh, we got to walk Santana. We can't pitch to this guy. We're going to walk Santana to pitch to Salvador Perez. Okay. You're going to walk the switch hitter and you're going to pitch to Perez. I guess the book says walk the switch hitter. Is that what it says? It's Salvador freaking Perez in the on-deck circle. You're kidding me, right? So they walk Santana to first base. Again, remember, people in sports aren't that smart sometimes. This Castillo, this closer, he can't throw strikes. He's been bouncing in the dirt. The catcher's been making saves. He's having a rough inning. It's not going well. It's his game. This inning is his. There's nobody else warming up. Great. He throws a wild pitch. It goes back to the screen. Both runners advance. The Royals have runners at second and third. To be honest, the runner at second doesn't matter at all. There's two outs. One run wins the game. It's going to take a hit. Nothing matters. Second and third, two outs. Salvador Perez at the plate. And they don't walk him. I'm like, poor Jessica's asleep. She nods off sometimes. She's on the couch, half awake, half asleep. I think she saw the bunt part of the inning, but didn't see the good part. And I'm about to jump on Twitter and go, what in the world are they doing? I didn't think they were really going to pitch to Salvi. The first pitch they threw to him was almost a wild pitch, which would have won the game for the Royals. It was so far out of the strike zone. And I thought, okay, they're going to intentionally walk him and see if he'll get himself out on a bad pitch, which is what I thought they were doing. I thought, well, they're not going to throw him a strike. Maybe Salvi will go on a fishing expedition, but they're not going to pitch to him. And here comes the fastball right down the middle, and Salvi just pounces on it and rips it down the left field line and pounds his chest and screams in the dugout and throws his helmet in the air like it's the World Series, and he's done it again. Salvador Perez has done it again. I mean, it's getting tiring on this podcast to talk about how many games Salvador Perez is going to win for the Royals. I will never look at the WAR stat in baseball again, because whatever it says for Salvador Perez this year is wrong. Okay, wins against replacement is wrong. The Royals are in first place. They'd be like four games under 500 right now if Salvador Perez started this season on the DL. And Cam Gallagher's a nice backup catcher. We all like Chad Henne and Cam Gallagher. But what we really like is Patrick Mahomes and Salvador Perez. How in the world could you see that pass ball, that wild pitch, and the Royals have first base open, and Salvador Perez is at the plate with the game on the line, and you're pitching to him? I mean, I don't know that I'm going to see anything dumber in baseball at any point this year. Any one single thing that is dumber than having first base open, Salvador Perez at the plate, and you pitch to him with the game on the line. It's beyond me. The Royals are my team. I'm thrilled this happened, but it was a gift. That inning was a gift. I mean, the Rays actively acted like they were trying. They had meetings, they had cards, they had scouting reports. Maybe their analytics said, this is the matchup. You know, you want to, no. Analytics are great in baseball for most of the game. In any sport, when the game is on the line, you don't simply go by what the numbers say. And I don't know that there were even, I can't even say that there were numbers supporting this. I don't know how there could be a number supporting this. All you had to know if you were Tampa when you got to Kansas City was the Royals were in first place because of Salvador Perez. And we talk about heat checks and streaks in sports. I don't think Salvador Perez is going to be the American League Player of the Month in April, but he should be. He's definitely the most valuable player in the American League in April. It isn't close. He's got a little more than a week left, and he doesn't have to do anything to wrap that up. No player in baseball this year has won more games for his team than Salvador Perez. Salvi could go to the All-Star break at this point and not win another game for the Royals, and he would still have a great first half. It is really hard to be a baseball player and win this many games. George Brett used to do this. You know when George Brett did this? When it mattered most. Down the stretch in a pennant race. In the playoffs. He'd just carry the team on his back. And Salvi has started this year on a mission. And how Tampa was sitting on the edge of a three-game sweep in Kansas City and they're pitching to Salvador Perez with first base open. This is the simplest thing in baseball. I don't get it. I love it. I don't get it. But man, there's some stupid stuff happens in sports. And it's a reminder that, you know, there's a lot more important things in the world. That it really is important that people like Joe Biden aren't stupid and Vladimir Putin aren't stupid and want to start world wars and things like that, or Xi Jinping. It's really important that those people aren't stupid, that they don't lose their mind at some point and do something really dumb. But I can't sit here and tell you with any certainty that those people aren't dumb too. Because we're human and we all make mistakes and we all do dumb things. And sports is the candy store or the toy store of life. We see people make dumb decisions in sports that don't really have any ramifications. A win or a loss in April in Major League Baseball isn't the beginning or the end of the Royals or the Rays season. It is not. It's not life or death, certainly. But it is a constant reminder when we watch sports that we are human beings, that we all make mistakes, that we all have our brains lock up on us. That we should be understanding of second chances, that we should forgive people, that we should look at someone who makes a mistake and think, you know what? I've made mistakes too. And there are different levels of mistakes. There are mistakes people make that hurt people. There are mistakes that people make that affect people. We make mistakes by locking down the economy, and it hurts and affects people. These are big mistakes that we've made, big giant blunders on a grand scale. But people make mistakes, and I guess I'm willing to, not now, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt that 8 months ago, when decisions were made that we know have led to suicide, drug addiction, death, loss of business, financial ruin, family splitting up, divorces, violence in the home. We know this has all occurred. I will give the benefit of the doubt that the people that initially wanted to do those things had the best of intentions, that they were genuinely more scared than you and I are of the virus, that they thought it was going to wipe out civilization or wipe out the country, that this was the end of all of us. I gave that benefit of the doubt. I went along with it all. I was good with it. Let's do it because we don't know. It's an unknown. I'm not scared, but I'm not the problem. I need to not be out there. I wore a mask. I need to not affect other people. I need to do what I can to make sure that I'm not going to hurt somebody else. I made sure of that. And while I wasn't worried, I knew that other people were scared to death. And we went through this. And how we are at a point now where people are as scared today of the virus as they were a year ago, and it's not that many people. I don't know what it is. It's maybe 10%, 20%. I mean, seriously, I don't think anybody can be as scared today as they were 9 months ago or a year ago. I don't see how anybody can be as scared. So if you're out there wanting the lockdowns and all the mandates and controlling people's lives, you're making a bad decision. It's wrong. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's just like pitching to Salvador Perez. It's the same thing at this point. We have too much data. We know too much. We just know too much. And if you're doing it, you have a different reason for it. It's not what you say it is, and we no longer can believe you. We simply can't. there's too much going on out there. I mean, I was going to address this a little bit later, but I took my mom to a little place called Taco Villa yesterday. You may have heard of it. I know that the people that own the place are very Christian. There's scripture on the wall. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. I wonder what they're doing with masks at Taco Villa. We know Don Cholito's in Mission, the Mexican restaurant, the whole time has put it, the dude on, put his middle finger up to Johnson County and said, come get me, arrest me, put me on the news, fine me, cite me, whatever. And they backed down. The entire time, Don Cholito's has been open without masks. Great. He's made a business decision. It worked for him. Taco Villa has a sign on the wall as you walk in that says, it's a beautiful sign. It has little artwork around it, and it's really nice. It says, masks are welcome, but not required. And I think that is the most beautiful sentiment for where we are. That is so spot on. Masks are welcome, but not required. Wear your mask. Come on in. Feel safe. Please. You go inside. The young people working there are not wearing masks. I think it's the first place I can remember going in where the people working there weren't wearing them. And it was great. And my 87-year-old mom was with me, and she goes, well, isn't this nice? And we sat in there. It's kind of a fast food place. You order at the counter and sit, and she had her couple tacos, and we must have sat for 45 minutes and talked and just watched people walk around that worked there, were emptying the trash, cleaning the place, people coming through the line, sitting down, and nobody had a mask on. And it was a little slice of normalcy. And we enjoyed it very much. Sticking with sports here in the first half of KKHI, let's talk about the National Football League. This is really the lighter side of sports. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. They made some rules changes this offseason. The Chiefs wanted uniform numbers to change because apparently Mecole Hardman and others want single-digit uniforms, but you can't have them if you're wide receivers, right? So they changed the uniform code in the NFL on who can have what numbers. There's still restrictions. They've changed it. They've also changed the rule about onside kicks in an effort to make them more successful for the kicking team. They're going to limit the number of players you can have within 10 and 25 yards if you're the receiving team. I guess I understand that the onside kick is an exciting play, but I will ask the question about the integrity of the game. If you play a game for 3 hours and you have a double-digit lead on a team, let's assume that you're the better team, you kind of deserve to win, don't you? Then you go into your prevent defense, you give up, let's say you're up 14, you give up the late touchdown with 48 seconds to go, now it's a 7-point game, you've led by double digits, you've dominated your opponent for 3 hours, you've played hard, you've played smart, you've played well, you've deserved to win this football game, and now this team got a touchdown, and they're going to try an onside kick, and what the league wants for drama at the end of the game is they want the inferior team to have a chance to beat you on a fluky play. So at my core, I'm a little torn by this rule. I like the onside kick. I think it's interesting, and I think it's great when it involves teams that I don't care about or I haven't bet on. But, man, there's no worse way to lose a football bet than to be on, you know, Green Bay -7 or -6, and they've got a 14-point lead with a minute to go, and a team scores, and you're still doing okay. You're up 7, and now an onside kick happens. Boy, they're in much worse than that, and it goes to overtime, and then Green Bay, of course, would win in overtime, but you didn't cover. So you hate that. You'd hate it if it's the Chiefs. They're the better team week in and week out. This is not a good rule for the Chiefs, because if you're the better team or you're a good team, this rule goes against you. I'm a little concerned with it. Look, I don't think the numbers are going to spike that much. I think botching an onside kick is a tough way to lose a football game. They also passed some rules that the replay official in-game will have a bigger role in-game with the officials on the field. This is for fumbles, sideline calls, spotting the ball, whatever. They'll have more communication with the officials on what's going on. They will not be able to overturn penalties or make any decisions based on penalties, but the replay official will have a bigger role in-game. And the NFL has announced they will have a strong emphasis on taunting this year. They didn't like what happened in the league last year. There will be a stronger emphasis on taunting. Tyreek Hill needs to know this. That's it. He needs to know this. Sports Person of the Week for me goes to Peter Vermes for his comments at Media Day for Sporting Kansas City. They open their home season on Friday night. Says on the website, tickets are available. I think tickets are a tough thing for Sporting this year because, I've said this before, they have an overwhelmingly liberal fan base. Overwhelmingly liberal fan base. And this may be tough, but I have noticed in my life, maybe you've noticed this too, that liberals will say one thing and do another. So Sporting Kansas City will be the test, will be the petri dish for that, the test tube for that. They will be, because they are, their stadium typically is packed with liberals, millennial liberals in particular, who have gone lockdown and mask crazy, but they don't seem to stay away from bars and parties very much. So we'll see if they draw the line and say, I don't know, we're still worried about the virus, we should do our thing and not go. I know I'm vaccinated, and I know my girlfriend is vaccinated, and I know we're all vaccinated, but we shouldn't go to the games. My guess is these are the people that say we shouldn't be doing this stuff, but they will go. This is my guess. We'll see what Sporting looks like, what their limitations are with fans. Peter Vermees saying what he learned during the pandemic is that fans are everything to the game. And it is impossible to make the statement that fans are more important than the players, because we're all there to watch players and see their skill. But I've always believed this. We root for uniforms. If you're a Missouri fan, yeah, the players come and go. You're rooting for Ole Mizzou. You're rooting for the uniform. This is why I don't get too bent out of shape over, hey, let's pay players. Let's do all this in college athletics. It doesn't matter to me who the players are. I'm rooting for a uniform, your alma mater, right? Same thing with the Chiefs and Royals. We don't care. We see players that it doesn't matter who the players are. We like the, you wouldn't love Patrick Mahomes if he didn't wear the Chiefs uniform. You love him because of the uniform. So I've always recognized that. And what Peter Vermees, he didn't really talk about that, but what he said to me really drove it home and emphasized that the thing that doesn't come and go is the fans. They don't come and go. Fans are always with you. They always affect the game, whether you're on the, whether you're home or road. He said, we have road games where we draw energy off the fans. That last season, in his words, Peter Vermees said, was artificial from start to finish. He said fans are everything to the game. This was not platitudes. This was not, you know, Marty Schottenheimer back in the day saying, we need fans in the stands. We need, you know, pumping you up. That's not what this was. He was like, there's a hole in my heart that soccer sucks without fans, that this was bad. And he said, we see it all over the world. Liverpool has lost 7 games in a row. They have no fans. You can't draw energy. The entire tone of the game and everything that transpires on the pitch in soccer or the field in football or the court in basketball, the entire thing that happens, happens because of the energy in the stadium, because of the fans, because of what's going on. Some of it now is game presentation, music, sound, lights, all those things are big deals. They're all big deals. And some of that can be there even with limited fans. But as I watch Salvador Perez again celebrate a walk-off hit, he brings the emotion. I think the Royals are having an advantage right now because I think they're more of an emotional baseball team. I think they draw emotion from within. I think they can find it in their own dugout and on the field without fans being into it. The Royals crowds this homestand have been bad. The weather got bad. 4,000 fans at Kauffman Stadium. There's no energy. There's no clapping. There's no hollering. You've got masks on. There's all kinds of ridiculous things. The Royals have to draw energy off of their own core, and they do that. And I think it was hard for Sporting. They finished first in the West last year. They had a fine season. I'm not saying they weren't good. Peter Vermees is a stud. But his comments were really enlightening. If you haven't seen him, the best place to go is go to sportingkansascity.com. They handed this guy the mic on media day, and he just stood there on the field, on the pitch, and fielded questions. The audio quality was perfect. Sporting does so many things so well. It's just crazy how good they are. And he's just great. I mean, if that dude runs for office, I can't tell you. I think he's conservative, and I know he's embraced Black Lives Matter with his players and things like that, which I didn't like last year. And he's made some comments about the Chauvin trial and things like that. I think at his core, he's conservative, but I think his position requires him to, you know, say what you're supposed to say. That's where we are in America. I don't know. I've never asked the man, but he's a leader of people. And he's really smart, and he's good, and I'm a fan of Peter Vermees and Sporting Kansas City. KKHI today is brought to you by Back 9 Development, the Solheim at Grand Mere. Condominiums available. If you'd like to tour the facility in Manhattan, call TJ Vilskanskis at 785-236-0161. TJ will give you a personal tour. He's a licensed general contractor. They custom build homes and real estate and commercial developments. Right now, they're working on condominiums, the Solheim at Grandmere, at Colbert Hills, for a second home, for college kids, for an investment property. 249 and up, 1- and 2-bedroom condos, upscale, complete fitness club, resort pool, clubhouse, the whole thing. Elevators, covered parking. It is very unique. It is on the golf course between holes 1 and 10 at Colbert Hills. Again, for a personal tour, you can pick out your condo and see your view of the gorgeous Flint Hills and sunsets. 785-236-0161, online at back9development.com. Bstock.net, my man Chris, is now hiring. They're looking for e-commerce pros. If you want to get ahead, if you don't want to punch a time clock, if you want to work more to make more, there's opportunities right now for you to be employed at Bstock in Olathe. Bstock's outlet store is going bonkers. The website's doing great. You can order all kinds of electronics and things at bstock.net, and they're looking for e-commerce pros. He said he recently took a young lady who was a waitress 18 months ago and has trained her, and she's working her tail off, and she's their leading sales rep making big money at Bstock. You can do this. Contact them. Go to the website, bstock.net, for the phone number or directions to the outlet store. They are now hiring. They also have great discounts right now on Microsoft Surface computers and tablets, 30% lower than online. If you want to buy a Microsoft Surface, don't buy it online unless you buy it at bstock.net or even less at the outlet store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Don't fall asleep on them on computers. Before you buy anything related to a tablet or a computer, check it out at Bstock first. They may have exactly what you're looking for 30% less. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Online at joslynsjewelry.com. It's the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Mother's Day is getting close, guys. So maybe something for your mom or the mom of your kids at Joslyn's in Overland Park, 95th and Antioch. All right, now the serious part of the podcast. We're going to do serious before we finish with fun again. And I don't know how we have laws on the books in this country that, like, if on this podcast I threaten to harm the president of the United States, somebody would hear it. I'd get called. The FBI or somebody would come calling and wonder if I'm a real threat. All right. So threatening violence is and can be a crime. Inciting a riot is a crime. We have almost nothing on the books, nor any reasonable way to enforce anything that happens in social media. And what LeBron James has done on Twitter, to me, should be a crime. LeBron James has a massive platform. With a massive platform comes some responsibility. Even though we don't like the media, we don't like CNN, we don't like left wing, we don't like whatever, there are very few instances where you would look at someone in media or somebody that has a big platform that says they're trying to get somebody hurt. They want to see somebody killed, shot, arrested, jailed, whatever. You just don't see that very often. LeBron James' tweet yesterday, to me, was a call to action. LeBron James tweeted about the officer in Columbus, Ohio. Let's recap what the officer did. He is called to a violent crime scene where someone has a knife and is stabbing people. He gets out of his car. He tells everybody to get back. Most of them don't, but they're not involved in this. We see one woman shoved and thrown to the ground. We see two other women fighting. One is much larger than the other. The much larger one has a knife, and she's grabbing it, and she's getting ready to stab the other woman. The officer is white. Both of the women fighting are black. Black woman with knife about to stab another black woman. He shoots the black woman with the knife, potentially saving the life of the black woman that is about to be the victim. There is no doubt he kept the much smaller, skinnier black woman from getting stabbed. She was getting stabbed. She was going to get at least cut. Now, the police department in Columbus put the video out right away and said, wait a second, here's what the law says. The law says any officer can discharge their firearm if their life is in jeopardy or a third person's life is in jeopardy. This is a basic rule of law enforcement, to protect and serve. Someone has a weapon attacking someone else. The police officer's job has nothing to do with the person with the weapon. It has to do with the potential victim. And if you ask me, I think that officer saved that girl's life. I think if he shows up 5 minutes later, that girl's dead. I think as a homicide is committed, at the very least, she's carved up and going to the hospital, bleeding everywhere. And LeBron James goes to Twitter and posts a picture of the officer who did this and wrote on Twitter, "You're next," with an hourglass emoji. The clock is ticking. Now, does it mean you're next to go to trial and go to jail like Chauvin? Or does it mean you're next? She just died. You're going to die next. I don't know. I think LeBron James right now is a very dangerous American citizen. I think he is dangerous to our country. I think he's inciting violence. I think he has every resource to call his followers to action. And the action clearly is vengeance. Whether it's violence or not, it's vengeance. And he has done that. LeBron James is the same man that when two LA cops right in his backyard, close to where he plays basketball every night, and Hollywood, where he's going to make billions of dollars in his career, right in his own backyard, two cops sitting in a car, minding their own business, sort of like on their lunch break or whatever, patrol cops, and somebody walks up from behind the car and assassinates the two of them and shoots them both in the head. He was silent. Not a word. Not one positive word or tweet. Thank you to the LA police officers who put their lives on the line and protect us every day. Not a negative word about gangbangers. Not one thing about find a better way. Stop gang violence. Young people, listen to me. Gangs are dead ends. What kind of message would it be for LeBron James to tweet, stay out of gangs? Drop your guns. It's a dead-end lifestyle. Don't do it. Would that be positive? Yes, it would be. It would be helpful. Would it be helpful when two cops in an attempted assassination on them, they're both shot in the face by a gangbanger, an initiation ritual, goes up and does this? Would it be positive if LeBron James said something good about cops that are out there working dangerous jobs every day, who, by the way, secure the arena he's in? This man is sick. LeBron James has a problem. This is beyond basketball. This is beyond liberal. This is beyond any. This is a sick man. This man is not well. He is calling for action against a white cop who saved a black girl's life. And he can't see it. Has he even looked at the video? Anybody that looks at that video, can you not see the officer is protecting a black girl? Can you not see that? So is the message here, is this what, and I don't know. Maybe LeBron James is the national spokesperson for the black community, whatever that is, because I see more and more black people that are conservative that ain't buying the crap that's been peddled all these years. But if he's the speaker for the black community, maybe what the black community has decided, that black on black crime is okay. That we're just going to be okay with all the murders that we have with black people on black people and all the crimes that we have black on black, that we're okay with that. We don't need policing. We'll kill each other if we want. We'll stab each other if we want. We don't care. But that isn't what the polls say. What the polls say is over 70% of black Americans want better policing and safer neighborhoods and help from the police. That's what black Americans say in polling. Again, the most fringe element, minority voice among the discussion is the loudest and most impactful. And that's LeBron James, Barack Obama, whoever is speaking out on the Al Sharpton. That's who's speaking out on this stuff. They're crazy far left, and they don't speak for any black community. They speak for leftists, Marxists. I mean, it's LeBron James is dangerous. I'm done with this topic for today, but LeBron James has a real problem. There's something wrong with that man. there's something really wrong. And that's just how you can watch that cop save that black girl's life. And now you want the white cop jailed or killed or attacked. They're going to have to move. He's going to have to relocate. The officer's done. The officer's done because he did his job in a heroic way. He did his job and he's done. He has no life now. They're coming after him. Could somebody step up and stop this, please? All right, we'll lighten it up a little bit here. A couple of schools. Princeton in the Ivy League says they'll require the vaccination for you to go to school there. Now, they're private. They can do that. Virginia Tech, at the same time, says we can't require you to have the vaccination here. We're a state school, and we can't legally do that. Okay, I like that. So I think we're going to draw some lines here on the vaccination. State schools, it sounds like, feel like they can't make you do that to go to college there. So I kind of like that. And Joe Biden is, I guess he's the king of America now or something. I don't know. Joe Biden has announced he's banning the term illegal alien. How exactly do you do this when we have a constitution that protects free speech? And has he banned the N-word yet? You're banning the term, the words illegal alien. Joe Biden is banning illegal alien as a term. I don't even know. I didn't know how to look it up. I tried. Has anybody banned the N-word yet? I need to know this. Banning illegal alien. Well, he's not banning it from this podcast. It is a factual term. If you are here illegally from a foreign country, you're an illegal alien. People think aliens are from outer space. You're not. Alien means foreign. You're not from here. So if you're from Mars, you're an alien to Earth. If you're from Mexico, you're an alien to America. That's just it's in Webster's. These are words. They're accurate. Again, they hate the facts. They don't even want you to be able to say what is factual. Illegal alien is a factual term for someone who is from another country that entered this country without anybody knowing it. You've entered illegally and you're foreign. Can we say illegal foreigner? I don't know. They want to say illegal immigrant. No, an immigrant implies that you're becoming a citizen. That's totally wrong. We cannot use the term illegal immigrants. We can't. There's a process to be an immigrant. Illegal immigrant is impossible. If you're an immigrant, you're legal. You're legal. There's only legal immigrants. That's look it up. It's factual. Know what the words mean. If you're immigrating to America, if you're an immigrant, you're becoming a citizen. You're in the process. They know you are. You've come through the border. You've given them your information. You're working towards becoming a citizen. I'm immigrating to America. It's crazy. Illegal alien. And all I could think of, if you're going to ban it, I'm going to play the song. I'm going to play the song. This is my college days. I loved it. Reagan was president. One of my top 50 bands, we'll say, was Genesis. Phil Collins was very big in the 80s. Their fourth hit, Genesis' fourth single, was a song called Illegal Alien. It was released in 1984. That was the year Reagan would win a landslide election. Are we going to ban this song now? I haven't heard it on the radio in a long time. I'm not sure they're playing it. But Joe Biden has to ban the song. If Joe Biden's banning the term illegal alien, he has to ban the music. I want to see what Hollywood and the music industry's reaction is if he bans the song by Genesis, Illegal Alien, and says, radio stations can't play it. I dare him to do this. I'm challenging the president of the United States right now to ban the song by Genesis, an English band, by the way, not an American band, an English band. I challenge him to ban that song, have the FCC announce that this is you will be fined. You cannot play the song Illegal Alien on the radio. And let's see what his Hollywood friends think about that and people in the music industry. Here's the chorus. Well, I'm going to play a cup for you of Illegal Alien if you don't know the song. It's a fun song. A lot of people looked at it at the time as satire or parody or a lot of different things. For the video, they dressed up as the band dressed up as Mexicans. So there's some stereotypes here. Today, it's considered to be failed satire perpetuating racial stereotypes. Back in the day, it was like, hey, this stuff's going on. And the parody of this is, I'll read you a couple of lyrics here, but I want you to listen to this song. It's no fun being an illegal alien. That's the chorus. Over the border, there lies the promised land where everything comes easy. You just hold out your hand. Phil Collins goes on to sing that he's going to sell off his sister to do anything you want her to do to help get me over the border. So he's prostituting his sister to help me get over the border. It's an exaggeration. It's a parody. At the time, people were, I'm assuming Genesis was at the time liberal. They were making fun of Reagan for trying to do some stopping people at the border and cracking down on some things that he was doing. He would later in his presidency open the border more and give amnesty to a lot of illegal aliens. He did that. It's one of the flaws of Reagan's presidency, but he did it. But at the time, they were like, they're cracking down on the border. This is no fun for these people. They're being tough on them. They're sending them back. They're checking their papers. They're doing all this stuff. And this song is being sung by the person with the perspective, I'll do anything to get into America because everything there is easy. They're just handing everything out. I'll even sell off my sister and let you sleep with her if you help me get across the border. Here's the problem. What was sort of parody and exaggeration then is worse today than they envisioned then. Here it is, Illegal Alien from Genesis.
Over the border, there lies the promised land, where everything comes easy. You just hold out your hand.
I think the song's catchy. I've always kind of liked the song. We didn't think of it in college as any too big of a serious social statement. There was too much talk about feeding the world and AIDS and all the things that were going on from the left when I was in college in the 80s. And this one didn't get a whole lot of play as being anything other than a fun little song. We knew some people were coming in and we knew that the government was sort of cracking down on them, but that a lot of people wanted to come to America because they thought it would be easy. And there was Genesis. A long, long time ago, a song released in 1984, and I'll just go ahead and challenge Joe Biden to ban that song in America. If you're going to ban the term illegal alien, how can you play the song? I played a clip of it, but I played it not for commercial purposes. So I think I can get away with that. I don't pay ASCAP fee. I don't pay all the fees involved in music licensing. So I can't play a lot of the popular music and things that you think that I could on here. I can't do it. Because I'm not going to pay for it. It's too expensive. It's crazy. You just can't do it. But as a news item, I can take a clip and play something for you to demonstrate something that is in the news. And I've just done that. And I can do that free of charge and not get arrested or whatever. Although, if he's banning the term illegal alien and he finds out a podcaster in Kansas City played a clip from the song Illegal Alien, maybe they'll come after me. This is what I'll do. To gain notoriety for my podcast, I'll let them come after me for playing that. Come on, bring it, bring it. Maybe I'll play the song every single day until somebody from the Biden administration comes after me and wants to ban the podcast because I'm playing a song called Illegal Alien. These people are crazy, folks, and you got to laugh about it. You got to play a song you like. You got to laugh about it. You got to have a little fun with it sometimes because, although be careful, I made the mistake. I thought the All-Star Game thing was a joke. I did. I thought it was just a joke, like illegal aliens kind of a joke. I thought it was a joke. I thought, okay, this is a joke. It's a joke. And then it wasn't a joke. They were real. So they must be serious about the term illegal alien. I got to do some research. Maybe you can help me. Has Joe Biden or did Barack Obama, has anybody yet banned the N-word? I didn't know you could ban words in America. I thought we had a right to free speech. I thought you could say whatever you wanted. LeBron James can. I can't say illegal alien, but LeBron James can do that to an officer in Columbus, Ohio. Oh my God, can we get to the midterms, please? Can we please get the next election? Actually, we need some time. We have to fix the voting system, the mail-in voting component, before we get to the elections. Then we need the elections. I pray every day that Joe Manchin in West Virginia and Kristen Sinema in Arizona will stop the really bad stuff from happening. We need one of their votes on these things, on expanding the Supreme Court, Washington, D.C. statehood, all of the crazy things that they're trying to do. We need one of those people to step up and vote and keep the thing at 51-49 and keep that stuff from becoming law. It's really critically important for the future of America. Vitally. Absolutely important. Thanks for listening to KKHI. Remember to hit that follow, like, or subscribe button. It's absolutely free. If you could tell a friend about the podcast, that'd be awesome. If they don't know how to play a podcast on their phone, maybe they're a little older, help them out with that. Show them how to do it. And while you're doing it, hit that follow, like, and subscribe button for them so they get the notification and play it too. I greatly appreciate your help. If you'd like to become part of the patron program, it's just $5 a month. You can go to kkhasissues.com to sign up and become a patron and get typically about 3 patron podcasts a week and a newsletter. We do stuff with the patrons there. And we have the Between the Lines 2.0 every Tuesday at kkhasissues.com if you want to go sign up and become a patron. As always, man, really appreciate you guys. So many of you are doing such great things for us, spreading the word, getting it out there. I'm having fun doing this. I hope you enjoyed it. We even played a song and had a couple laughs today on KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.